It's me. I'm here. And I'm sitting here feeling sorry for myself again. Trying to be in the pity train. And not the right pity train, which is obviously with pit bull dogs. But the pity, self-loathing, stupid shit we're trying not to do. As we're thinking of this, we're reminded of a story. That we heard. That somebody, when they were in school, was driving pretty fast because they were late in a residential area that never really had vehicles in it, but this time had one as they went to stop and turn. They neglected to stop and just kept turn to turn, and by divine intervention and luck, did not hit each other but was so close. And then they said that they stopped, as both would, obviously freaked out. And then that person continued to keep going. They were like, I gotta go to school right now. I don't know what was so important that they needed to do that, but I think about this occasionally. I haven't in a while, but they said that that other vehicle was still there. Like, nobody ever got out. They probably stayed 10 seconds. I don't know. It's really hard to trust that, because when you're in the moment, it feels like forever. But reality isn't that. So what seemed forever, but I'm going to assume is like seconds. Let's say 10 to 30 seconds. And was still there when they drove off. And that they could see him for a minute as they're driving off. And I think about this because I think about that person who was in that other vehicle, just like having a near-death experience. Maybe not near-death, but almost an accident. And we're probably freaking out. Who even knows what they were doing? But the person who told the story just left. They just left. The right thing to do is get out of the fucking car and make sure people are okay. But that's hard to do. I guess it's hard to have integrity. Integrity, that's true. And since nobody was there and nobody got hit, so it's different. Like, if there's an actual accident, then you have to, you know. But nobody hit anybody. It was just almost real, real close. Apparently. And, like, this is how I feel. I feel like that other car. Like, something traumatic just happened, and the other party wants to act like it didn't. And even worse, like, they don't give a fuck, and they don't. They don't. That person said they literally never think about it. It was just something I came across in conversation that never gets brought up. And like, what did the other car do? Obviously keep it together and then go continue living life. But like, how much did it affect them? Who knows, right? We'll never know. But if that's true, then that people can just do injustices and walk away and not even care. And we know it's true because we've done things before. Everybody has. Whether intentional or not, we definitely did it intentionally also. So let's not act like we didn't, bitch. But, you know. This happens. And if it does happen, then we really need to learn how to take care of ourselves, Vanessa. Which is so good that we're doing that. Something to be proud of. It's just, it's so weird. That's weird. We hate it. But it is always a good reminder to us that we're focused on the wrong things. We need to go inward again. And just focus on controlling that. Because we can control nothing else. Especially when people don't care. And maybe that's why we're learning not to care. But we're trying to do it in a not toxic, dumb way. Like we used to. So, I don't know. It feels very ambiguous. Is that the word I want? I think so. But mostly, this just reminded us that we were doing it again. Oops, we walked back into that hamster wheel of stupidity and like trying to dwell on shit that doesn't matter because of our emotions. Because people trigger our emotions sometimes. That sucks, but it happens, and we cannot be wimpy about it. That's not going to be helpful at all. And I guess we're also realizing that not giving a fuck might be something we get really good at, but that it's not always going to be pleasant for other parties. And that's why we have to just constantly be self-aware and intentional, because we want that balance of literally just not giving a fuck because we can only control us and you're not going to stop us. But also not, like, rubbing it in for no reason. No point putting salt in a wound. And for no other reason except for the selfish one that, A, we don't want to receive that back. Because what you do to or for another, you do to or for yourself. And B, if it does happen, which is likely to, not because we deserve it per se all the time maybe, but that it's just what it is here. It's shit. And we get dealt shit all the time. And so when we do, we'll know that we haven't made it worse by just putting negative shit out there for us. We haven't made it worse. And all the more reason to believe and trust that good things will happen out of shitty situations. And it's not always fun or easy to do, but it's worth it. We're getting better at just bouncing back, and that's when the real fun's gonna begin. And until then, we just gotta keep doing our best to recognize and then stop. Just stop. Which we did. And that is great. but we're still sucking ourselves into that wheel of pity, and it's expected. The good thing is that we're not tricking ourselves as much anymore, or trying to believe our bullshit lies that we come up with to mask what we're doing, because we're too lazy to fix it. And that, Vanessa, is exactly what we're doing correctly, even though it looks like we just keep failing, because we kind of do. We know in the end this is going to be a skill. And then we'll have fun. More fun. And it's just a reminder that things take time. Even when it seems like it doesn't matter. And all the time keeps flying by and nothing keeps showing for it. That's not true. We gotta keep brainwashing ourselves. And just feel better. Get to the place where you can feel better. Do something for us that's gonna make us feel better. And then help us just balance the shit out again. And keep doing it until we figure it out. Figure it out. And there was something else that I was gonna compare this to. You know what? I got nothing. So, I think that's where I'm gonna leave it. And basically, bitch, Vanessa, the point here is quit being sad about shit. Who cares? Who cares what they're doing? The only thing we need to worry about is saying the truth of people and things. And the minute we do, we don't spend any time trying to rationalize it. We just accept it. We accept what is, and we move forward accordingly. And we do so without ill will. We can be hurt. That's fine. But we will get over it, and we'll figure it out. And we won't be so hardened the next time we try. We'll be smarter and have more protection, but not crazy, toxic, I never will try again. We have to keep trying. We fail so much at things. Failure cannot stop us. We would never do anything right if we kept allowing that to stop us. So, when we're getting to that point, we're just getting too much involved in the shit that we don't need, okay? We don't need that emotional turmoil or strife in our life. If all we can do is dwell, because we can't fix it, great. Let it go for now. Think of something else. Do something else until you get into a better state of mind where you can rise above your emotions and think clearly and see clearly. And then move that way. Understanding fully that we're going to fuck up a lot on the way to succeeding. Great. It's only going to make us better and stronger. We got this. Don't give up. Okay, I'm back, and this is an episode where I'm going to read a rough-ass draft of a writing I was going to do many moons ago. We're talking, I don't know, maybe 10 years now. And I don't know why I feel compelled to do this, but
Normally, I would never. I just don't think I'm going to use this. And if I do, I'm definitely, it's not going to be this. So, I've got no fear of people trying to take my shit. Great. If you take it, make it better. It was meant to be. But if you hear me stuttering or silent or you hear pages turning, that's just me trying to get through this draft and also make some corrections, even though I don't know why I would if I'm not going to use it. But there you go. Again, this isn't even... This is much like my conversations on here. I'm pretty sure this was like the second time I attempted to write this, so hopefully it's not humiliating, and we're gonna see how it goes. Basically, this story is supposed to be about siblings with magical powers, maybe. No, not magic, but like weird shit happens. I don't know how else to explain it. That gets separated. And so this is that. There's no title. Oh wait. It's not really whatever. Okay, so here we go. The wind howled violently as I ran from my life through never-ending fields of corn, big enough to squish you to death if it fell. It was pitch black outside, except for the light from the full moon shining above me, as bright as the sun on a beautiful summer's day. Great job, Fancy, I thought. Why are you all alone in a dark field of larger-than-life corn? You're gonna die now, probably. And that's when it happened. I heard my sister's voice in the distance. She sounded like a hysterical child after having fallen into a cactus tree. Wait, is a cactus a tree, Vanessa? I hope so. Okay, sorry, continuing. She was screaming so loud I could feel the chills going down my spine. The cold air felt like daggers piercing my skin, making my muscles tense. And I... Wait, what? It was a... What? My whole body ached? Okay, it was aching? Okay, that's it. Still, I pushed my little legs as hard as I possibly could to get to her. My heart began to race louder and harder. I didn't care. Nothing was going to get in my way. How could I suffice if I let anything happen to him? Her. Oh my god. I didn't even... Okay. This is what I'm talking about. There's a lot of mistakes in here, so bear with me. If I let anything happen to her, I couldn't. I wouldn't. She was all the family I had in the world. And I would sooner die than allow her to be taken. Needless to say, this was my only purpose in life. This is all that mattered. Don't you stop running. I told myself it'll all be over soon. Hold on, I gotta get a new correction pen. I don't know why I'm making corrections here, but I'm a fucking stifler for that sometimes, which is so weird. Because I am not organized. Okay, I'm coming, Ashley. Is what I managed to squeal out, although I was very much out of breath. Oh, wait. Oh, my God, Vanessa. You know what? I don't even think we're prepared to read this out loud. Whatever. I'm just going to skip. What doesn't make sense. I didn't know where I was, and I wasn't sure how or why I was here either. All I knew was that my sister was in trouble and I had to get to her, and I would. The sweat ran down my face as these shadows soon neared me. They were creepy ghost-like figures whose only mission, apparently, was to murder me. It was a feeling. I just knew that that's what they wanted. These shadows echoed scarier noises than a Nightmare on Elm Street soundtrack. They were so close behind me. I felt the death-like chills rising up my neck that somehow turned into whispers. She cannot escape. It is time. She is ours. In the eeriest imaginable voice. My heart felt like it was going to pop out of my chest. It was beating so intensely. I began to panic. No, I thought. Stay focused. Faster and faster I ran. She let out an excruciating holler that stung my ears like nails to a chalkboard. I'm getting so close. I can hear her so clearly now. Beep, beep, beep. Trying to be more excited when I said that, but whatever. I awoke in a frenzy, slightly still sweaty, to find my hand impatiently searching for the snooze button. Ugh, 6 a.m. already, was my immediate reaction as I squinted from the ray of light that the sun was drawing in from the curtains. It was always surprising to me how late December could still, the sun could still look as if it was brighter, wait, bright, oh my God, bright as day. I'm laughing because this is humiliating. Oh my God, I forgot I wrote this. The year was 3020. Contrary to popular belief, there were no flying cars, time machines, anything to that nature. In fact, after the technology crash in 2012, everyone was left to fend for themselves as everything began to fall apart. Wasn't long before it felt like caveman days, or at least what I imagined were cave-like days. People had to learn to survive again in the real world without electricity, plumbing, even without purified water.
many went mad and went on starting riots, blaming things like the president and the country and the government for this failure. Oh my god, do we really try to get political in this? Jesus Christ, Vanessa. We go hard, don't we? It was said a mob traveled from all over the states to deal with these problems personally. What? The truth was that for a while the world was left in a frenzy. Full of people dismantling governments and systems who later tried to rebuild these same structures and systems. Then there were the rebels who refused to become subjected to another government, like the one that had just collapsed on them, ever again. There were wars fought, people murdered, important documents, such as the Bill of Rights, looked over and subjected to revisions. There was no structure, no organization. Everything was up in the air. And you had to fend for yourself. Now, nearly 1,000 years later, America is stronger than ever and finally out of its vicious antics from rebellions. It appeared that people were back to trusting governments and systems. What? People were systems, and things were running the way they used to. But I didn't really care. The history of our state, or the context of its character, meant nothing to me. I was 9 and only cared about things kids do, which included hanging out with friends, watching television, and of course, hanging out with family. I was getting out of bed in my favorite overworn polar bear t-shirt given to me 3 Christmases earlier by my mother, and some black sweats that my sister had outgrown years before. They were too big for my awkwardly shaped body, but since I was thin and taller than most 9-year-olds, most pants always look like capris anyways. And these fit better than that. Although I was nowhere near your next pageantry candidate, I was not completely unfortunate looking either. My hair was dark, shoulder length, and straight with the occasional wave here and there. But in the morning, particularly this very morning, as I stumbled to the mirror, it seemed wavier and frizzy as the hair stood up whichever way it pleased. Kind of the way it did after my aunt would ruffle it to annoy me. when she would see how much effort I put to make it look nice and the attitude I caught. If anybody so much as grazed it. I cringe at the thought. The memory, really. As I stare intensely, yet still, wait, what? As I stare intently at my reflection. Oh, okay, there we go. And after a few agonizing moments, I shrug my shoulders and make my way to the shower. There's an unusual gust of wind coming through the windows of our 3-bedroom home. As I walk back to my room from the shower. Oh my god, am I not reading this? It seemed as though every year was becoming slightly colder than the one before. Nevertheless, I love the chilly weather and never complained. Oh my god, I cannot read this. Oh, what the fuck, dude? Let's see. My sister was 3 years older than I was, but somehow I always felt we were more like twins who could feel each other's thoughts and finish each other's sentences. I knew we had an unbreakable bond. It's weird to say out loud, but this bond enabled us to connect and understand each other in a way that people in general never do. I always felt like a nut job for believing this, but deep down, I knew in my gut that there was a reason for this connection. There must be. And so, although apprehensive, I did not dare question it. Instead, I accepted it wholeheartedly. And allowed myself to enjoy the discovering of what this would mean. I was hoping not to use too much energy to wake my sister up. Waking her up always seemed like Mission Impossible. I never knew what kind of absurd shenanigan I'd have to pull in order to get her to arise. But usually it involved loud noises, hasty pushing, tons of energy and dedication on my part, for sure. The door to her room had been partly opened as I was heading down the hall. She never sleeps with her door like that. I unknowingly whispered aloud as my legs began to hastily move toward her room. When I got there, I took a deep breath and carefully began to peer inside. Fancy, I know you're trying to be sneaky, but maybe next time you should remember to run quietly. A blank but very much relieved facial expression took over my face. And we both chuckled at my naivete and fear.
Ashley was sitting up in bed overlooking a fashion magazine. Her dark straight hair was in its usual early morning bed hair mode, which was not nearly as dramatic as mine. And if I'm being honest, it looked too perfect still. I always wondered how she did that. She was far more graceful than I was, so I just assumed it was that. She cared about her physique and was very much a girly girl. She was lean, but filling out in the right places. I had no idea what this meant, of course, just that she mentioned it often. She was always pointing at her physical body and making comments that I didn't understand, which she rarely included me in anything these days, so like a good younger sister, I just nodded and played along. She was very proactive and had willpower like I've never seen in anyone. She had a great diet and really paid attention to what she put into her body. It was shameful, almost, walking around the house stuffing cookies or cupcakes in my mouth with her eyes constantly glaring at me. Her thoughts as intense as she was. "You're going to get fat and lazy if you keep eating that way, you little shit."
What? I'm sorry, like, what girly girl talks like that, Vanessa? Okay, I'm going back to the story. I learned to laugh it off and tease her for being so lame instead of allowing harsh remarks to get me down. After all, what kind of psycho 12-year-old kid cuts themselves off from sweets? And in my opinion, if anyone should be doing the glaring of the eyes to anyone, it should have been me to her. "The only thing that's gonna get fat is your lip after I knock you out," I'd giggle. "Besides, you're quite the freak. Who doesn't want to eat junk food at our age?" Even though I was always trying to be playful, she never laughed.
What does this say? What the fuck does this say? No. Ashley was a peculiar girl who strongly believed in superstition.
She said it was nice to do something consistently and know that things would pan out in a specific certain way. She said it helped her believe in structure and longevity. And that it was comforting and safe to her. Plus, it helped in a lot of ways for her without making her do much physical work. Not that she minded at all, for she loved physical work if it meant it would make her physique look better. But it was nice to not put forth too much effort and still get results. Plus, she was convinced that when she was in her superstition mindset, that she would get the best ideas. She insisted that it also helped increase her overall confidence. Which was hard for me to imagine because my whole life I've known her and she's been nothing but arrogantly confident. Apparently she couldn't see that. She would constantly repeat and reiterate to me how she had to build her confidence to keep her on her A game, whatever that means. She was always sure of herself and decisive. Always sure and excited for the adventure life had to offer her. Her confidence to me was never in question or second guessed. Now that I think about it, nobody questioned her confidence except her. I didn't realize it at the time, but she was what could easily fool me. With her masks. She covered her insecurities so well to me, I never noticed. Or maybe I just put her on a pedestal because I looked up to her in every sense. Regardless, she was strong, my go-to, my right hand, my rock, and best friend. I hated when she wasn't around. Or when she was too cool for me. And prefer to hang out with her friends. This was something that began to happen more often. And I definitely didn't like it. She was strong-willed, kind-hearted, and fearless. A funky combination. I never knew how she pulled it off. But it came natural. And even though I envied her, it wasn't in a jealous, crazy Cain and Abel way. It was more like, I just hoped those traits would rub off on me eventually. And I could be as proud of myself for being me as she was proud of herself for being her.
She was my only sibling, and I could never imagine a world without her. She was one of the only things that kept me pushing and fighting, other than my mother, of course. Our mother was a strong woman who only wanted the best for us. She worked two jobs to support us, though that wasn't enough sometimes. Our father left the picture before I ever got to know him. So it didn't bother me as much as it bothered Ashley. I could tell that it deeply upset her, but she refused to speak about it directly. And for many years, I never quite understood the extremity of her emotional frustrations with this issue. But every now and again, when the issue came up and her demeanor and voice were as cold as ice, I was reminded that there was something deeper going on here that I still quite didn't understand. Mom never spoke badly about him. And in the rare occasion Ashley would have a smart-ass remark, Mom was there to say things like, you don't know the whole story, or he loves you both, and someday you'll understand. As if these things were supposed to ease the pain and keep us happy. I know she hated that we didn't understand, but in our defense, she never helped us to. Still, I had no idea what was actually happening here. Okay, I guess this is so hard to do. I still have like so many pages left. What the fuck? Okay, where am I at time-wise? Okay, let's see. Although I had inner demons I struggled with, like confidence, independence, and individuality, I was constantly told that I needed to give myself more credit, and that I was stronger than I knew. I hated that. Even at a young age, I didn't understand how people could assume they knew more about me than me, even if they didn't know me a little bit. Sure, I was indecisive and hesitant, timid, but I had good qualities also. I was always curious and talkative.
I liked people. I liked getting to know people. The best part about getting to know people for me was that I didn't have to talk about myself. And I got to learn things. And it seemed to be a win-win solution for all involved. So I enjoyed conversations. I was definitely the more level-headed one. I know. What a surprise. I was afraid of taking risks. Making hasty, irrational decisions on mere impulse was not the way I handled things. Instead, I thought of strategically clever ways to understand problems so that they could be resolved. But it was like the more time I spent with Ashley, the more I found out about myself. She taught me to be strong and confident and to never let anyone push me around or bring me down. It was easier being all of these things with her in my vicinity because she gave me a sense of pride that I never knew how to develop on my own. I knew I couldn't depend on her for everything and that I needed to fulfill my own potential and not just live in her shadows. No matter how comfortable I was there. So, it should come as no surprise that this year I planned to begin discovering myself on my own. I would break free of my fears and finally shine in my own spotlight. Instead of hiding in the dark, never wanting to be seen. Every day was a new opportunity for me to grow some balls, as she would call it. And that's what I just was trying to do. Though I was in no real rush to shine on my own just yet. I figured I had plenty of time to do that. So there was no need to rush. During winter break, Ashley and I enjoyed passing the time. By looking at magazines and doing other weird girl things that she swore we were supposed to like. I never did, though. But I didn't mind. I didn't know what to do, and she did, so I just followed suit. Hanging out with her was more about the time we spent for me and less about what we were actually doing. We lived in a small town where it seemed desolate. There weren't many people, and as it was, and when holidays rolled around, there were even less. I guess people had places to go. That must be nice. We never knew what that was like. When we were younger, we used to be the only kids in town. Seemed like, as I said, everybody else had places to go and people to see. It was boring here. Not much was going on. And I remember Ashley inventing a game. And as odd as it was, it became our signature thing. It was supposed to be for when it was just us around and keep us busy. But it ended up turning into something so much more than that. Something that helped us play with our imagination and hang out with each other and enjoy the time we had. Just imagining scenarios and being kids together. What the fuck? She and I were the only ones who ever played this game. She said it would mess up the whole order of things if we attempted to let other kids play with us before it was time. What that even meant, I had no idea. Nevertheless, I obliged without thinking to question it, as I usually did with everything when it came to Ashley. The game was Crystal Keeper, an unusual and maybe even considerably dorky game about wizards, goblins, mythical creatures, magic, and spells. The purpose of the game was to get a hold of the crystal heart that was kept away in the Dark Lord's castle. Once that was retrieved, the evil could be idly monitored and driven away. That's a weird way to say that, but okay. Retrieving the heart itself was only half the battle. The true test was figuring out where the key of the heart might be. Ashley said that that only a chosen handful were able to receive hints as to where this key was hidden. We are the chosen ones, Fancy. Therefore, it is our duty to discover the key, no matter what, was what she would constantly tell me. Chosen ones? I laugh. Me? Her dedication to the game was odd and questionable, but I admired her in-depth knowledge and commitment to this imaginary game. Plus, we got to exercise our imagination and creativity and hang out together, which was arguably the only real reason I played along. When I would ask her how she thought of this game, she said she dreamt it one night after her 11th birthday. But it didn't make sense to her at first. Since then, she has had recurring dreams about this that has revealed more in detail. It's weird, though. She would respond in an almost whisper, like tone. I only have these dreams every 11th day of the month. It almost feels like a sign. Only I'm not quite sure what it means. As we sat there, this is like a new chapter. Okay. As we sat there, I felt an unusual vibe coming from Ashley. I saw her flash a couple fake smiles and laughs until I finally bid the nerve to ask her what was wrong. At first, she danced around the question, but when I refused to drop the topic, her face became very pale and serious as she said, "Mom is struggling with money, and I think that some people are going to take us away." I heard the words, but I couldn't get myself to register them. It felt like a crazy dream. I could not quite grasp the content of this information. If Mom wasn't able to take care of us, why didn't she tell us? Me? Why didn't she tell me? Why does Ashley know? How would that even mean that we would be taken away? All these questions bombarded my brain, and I felt tears flow down the sides of my cheeks, like characters in movies when they find their life has taken an unsuspected turn for the worst. Ashley wrapped her arms around me and tried as hard as a 12-year-old would to soothe the younger sister. When she herself had no actual concept of what was happening either. Not really. After a few more minutes, I spoke again. How do you know this? I overheard Mom on the phone a few days ago. A man with dark hair and a black eye came to the door threatening her. Black eye? Like he got beat up? She winced, then made a disgusted face. I wish. It was more like his whole eye was black. Where it was supposed to be white, there was none. Although I already knew the answers, I couldn't stop my mouth from saying the words. They slipped out like sand between my little fingers. Will we ever see her again? Will I get to be with you? She might have only been 12, but even she knew if we were taken away, we would never get to see our mother. And even worse, we would not be together, most likely. It was always a gamble. I mean, who knew with a system like that? Like what? Social services, probably? Okay. I don't know. The likelihood of us remaining with each other was far and few between that. Completely distraught at this realization. It's not like we had family to support us and turn to either. We had no one. We had no dad to turn to, nobody to confide in, and we didn't know of any other relatives that could take us in or help us out. Our options were not non-existent. My heart ached as I felt it sink to the pit of my stomach. There was absolutely no way I had enough strength to carry on without my mom. And to have to go on without Ashley too, that would kill me. It would be the scariest nightmare I could never wake up from. Never erase. Never escape. I was consumed with frustrations of confusion and inadequacy, and I could not keep my cool. I can't breathe is a common phrase that would come out of my mouth whenever I was torn inside with so much emotion and just needed to speak aloud. The statement itself wasn't important because I was breathing just fine. It was just for the dramatic effect and usually done to lighten the mood. However, this was a desperate time, and at this point, almost anything said was the sugarcoat to a crappy situation. Don't worry, I'll think of something, she said with so much passion that I didn't doubt her for a split second. She was always a schemer, and I congratulated her often on her abilities every chance I got. It was amusing. She was definitely a hustler and a survivor. I knew she meant what she said. Still, This was way out of her league. And although I didn't doubt she'd figure something out, I wondered if it would be in enough time to keep us together. Either way, I knew she wouldn't leave me without a fight. So, I needed to be strong for her. For us. And we needed to get our family back together. No matter what. Okay, that's the end of that. That was fucking rough as hell. There were a couple times there were new chapters, but it doesn't matter. It's obviously a rough ass draft. If you're hearing it, it means I posted it, and great. Let me know your thoughts. Otherwise, you won't hear this, and then this doesn't matter. But assuming you did. Have a great rest of your day or night, and I'll be back again.